Well, I still had Daniel List on because he's a great guest and such an important topic. Normally, almost any other guest, I would have just said, hey, sorry, tomorrow, because I'm drinking out of a fire hose here. I mean, the stuff breaking is all so insane, most of it's good, that I'm getting chills right now. So I'm not putting an act on here that I'm freaking out. And the crew knows. They rarely see me this flustered. Daniel, I want to look at some of these people, these folks that look coordinated to me. I'm not attacking them. And how their stories are all vague. And then I could go deep on each one of them, obviously, knowing the background of how this stuff works. But just in general, what would you call this moment in history? Because I can feel it. You can feel it. We can intellectually see it. Everybody else that's really not awake, a lot of folks are awake, but those that aren't awake are freaked out because their subconscious and the collective unconscious understands it. We're conscious trying to understand it, so we're a little less freaked out, I think. I don't know if I'm speaking for you. But imagine someone not conscious of this, but unconsciously and subconsciously they are. That's why people are so freaked out, because I'm in between scared, happy, exhilarated, super excited. I mean, how could anybody be bored right now? What would you call this moment in time?
This is definitely the unmasking of the intelligence community. That's a major aspect of it, because they've been in control of all these various subjects, from the Kennedy assassination to UFOs to CERN to our ancient past. They've kept the lid on it. And that's on the establishment side, because it's not that they don't believe in it. It's that they've kept it for themselves. As we know, they've worked on these things. They wanted industry out of these things. They wanted control of these things. You know, it's interesting to look back at the very beginning of the Central Intelligence Agency, and you see Alan Dulles there, and he's at Sullivan and Cromwell drawing up the charter for CIA. It's not even a military organization when you think of it that way. It's a lawyer organization. And what were Sullivan and Cromwell so good at? They were dealing with international finance. So, you know, these groups that wanted to put certain people together and really organize on a corporate level what they could do with America's dominant power throughout the world went directly through these intelligence agents. But the problem is there's such a schizophrenic level, because the development on their part, the way science works, is when you get one breakthrough going, the other guy picks it up, the other woman picks it up, and it goes on, and you get all these incredible developments. Well, in this case, if you keep that science secret and you develop it in the background for 80 years, you take it out of the loop of the public. And then at a certain point, you're going to have to bring that back in for a number of reasons. You've developed it. You've checked it out. You want to make the billions on it. You also want to centralize the control. But the public doesn't know that you've been working with UFO technology, for example. We'll start with that one. They don't know you've been working on this apotheum effect in the background. So how do you break that information back in from this group that took the breakaway tech and developed it over here on the side? So when we see all these CIA people coming out after the CIA was the main blocker on the UFO topic for decades, they were the one who discredited the people who came forward, and in some cases even bumped off certain researchers and political figures in relation. That's the X-Protect group inside. When you look at that and you really see what the control, the level of control that they've been able to exhibit over American society, it's phenomenal. Well, when those people come out and say, well, the aliens are here and they're a threat and we need this UFO defense office through the NDAA, you know we're at a pivotal crossroads. I mean, this is almost a biblical revelations type clash, because you can't have those forces come in and take over the narrative of humanity and the origin story of humanity and bring in those types of emergency powers. So you have to expose it on one hand, but then what happens when they're exposed and you're looking at them and you know what they're up to on this issue? That's the crucial crossroads, I think, that we're looking at. And we've been looking at it ever since, really, we developed the nuclear technology, because the UFO file became a central force and a central figure in all of that. And so this is the nature of the time that we're in. And I can only think of you when, you know, as the kind of architect of the alternative media, what you must think of all these things coming true after you've put them out there for so long.
Incredibly sad, man. We got to get you on for like a 3-hour commercial-free podcast. We send like 100 exhibits, and I just boom, boom. Because I'm telling you, folks, just all I do is study this stuff, and just Daniel gets it all at every level. He's better than I can. He just sees it. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And something big is about to happen. We'll be right back with Trump making a bizarre hand gesture. Please remember. remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the headline at Drudge Report. Trump makes bizarre hand gesture, and he was outside of the White House. And you could say he was pointing up at the White House, but it's, look, we have AOC, we have Pocahontas, we have them all making this hand gesture. And the left is so deceptive that if I make a Roman salute, and the Romans did this too, and then thousands of years later, Mussolini did this, and so Hitler kind of copied Mussolini in the uniforms and the goose stepping and all of it, and so that's the salute. But forevermore, that's the Nazi salute. Now, I'm demonstrating it. People will take that and say Jones is making Hitler salutes. No, I'm demonstrating it. Like if I say UT football is hook 'em horns, and that doesn't always mean you're worshiping the devil. Actually, it goes back to Italy as well, as you ward off the devil with it. It's the opposite of that. You actually study where that comes from. But my enemies, both on the fake left and the fake right, will now take those images, and they will say that I was heiling Hitler and worshiping the devil. No, it's all the intention. But I will tell you, whatever message it is, would be politically correct. I don't think Elon Musk is a secret Nazi. I don't think Trump is a secret Nazi. But at a certain point, the way Musk did it, where he snapped to and all the rest of it, and like Dr. Strange, Mein Führer, I can walk. That was like boom, hits his chest and then salutes. But it is a classic human salute. It's like when I've raised my fist before at right-wing events, I saw in right-wing news articles like 25 years ago, Jones is really a communist. He's making a raised fist. No, the raised fist is an ancient symbol of resistance. Okay? So I'm simply here showing people different, and I know most of the audience knows that you're probably like, we're not 5 years old, Alex. We know that. I know, but people take things out of context and to deceive. And so they will take all that out of context. But I'm being honest. The Elon thing looks deliberate. Just be politically incorrect, I think he did. Be rebellious. I don't know about Trump. Let's roll the video with audio of Trump just 30 minutes ago.
What are you trying to build?
What? Sir, did you approve?
You say more missiles?
Are you building missiles?
What? Come on,
Dad. Might be missiles.
Did you say missiles?
Taking over all of Gaza, sir.
All right, so Trump's a famous joker. That was not intentional. He's saying missiles. That's a classic way to describe you're firing missiles is psh, 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 psh. So, and I'm not even defending Trump. That is my take. We can get Daniel List, our journalist, take on that. But this is going to be a new, giant, obvious fiasco. And then we start with the memes. Please get somebody in there to take Trump doing that and then put up AOC doing it and say, and then under it maybe Elizabeth Warren, and then maybe Chuck Schumer. They've all done it. And then put on there, we're all Hitler now. Put it out immediately with an InfoWars at the bottom. This is hilarious. Sorry, Daniel List, I didn't mean to keep you holding while I'm ranting. What do you make of this newest fiasco?
You always have to be careful when you're Trump and you get around these things. Musk was in a lot more danger with what he was doing. And I think, in fact, you know, because he had just given a speech in Germany to this group that, you know, it was just him kind of blowing off steam. But he has a tendency not to care. And I think it would be, in general, I think with Musk, he's another one who needs to really practice a lot more statecraft when you get around these things, because people can take this stuff and really run it over the coals. And I'm sure the really liberal aspects of the news media really will take that and just convince their people that, you know, this is a Nazi salute and you should send us donations to the next leftist candidate. Look, we're up here in Boston. You know, we have the most liberal, mayor, the most liberal governor, and they feed the public up here all this crap all the time about how, you know, everywhere you go, it's like, oh, Trump is the king and Elon is Hitler. I mean, that's just the way that they do it. So they know what to feed to their audience in order to get those political donations going, and they will feed that image.
Well, I got to tell you, I like Elon Musk overall. I think he's a trailblazer, amazing. I think he got fired up aggressively under attack, being politically incorrect, tired of being called a Nazi, did it as a joke. And then with Trump, though, 100%, he makes a joke about nuclear missiles on the roof. What are you doing up there? By the way, they do have anti-aircraft missiles on the roof of the White House. That's no secret. Handheld and, I mean, I've seen it. That's on record. You'll see Trump when he gives a speech or others. You look at a building, you see guys with, you know, high-tech stingers up there. So he makes a joke about nukes on the roof, and they're going to say a Hitler salute. I mean, this is hilarious, but clearly he's saying firing missiles. I mean, is that what you get from this, Daniel?
Absolutely, yeah. This is a total nothing, but they will make something out of it just for the heck of it. And Trump is so used to that as well. I'll tell you what's interesting is the vision of Trump with Musk before the big falling out, which I still think is kind of a disaster in that sense. And I think that Musk maybe precipitated a lot of it. But when they were hanging out together and watching the launches of SpaceX and all the rest, they were conjuring up that image of von Braun with Kennedy, looking at the launch of those S-4 missiles and all the rest. And there was like an incredible tie over there, I think, to the technology edge with the power of the presidency overruling that thing. And, you know, you just showed Vance there. He just went and said, I'm going to take the whole August recess and study UFOs because I'm fascinated. I'm obsessed with UFOs. Well, now we have the VP talking about UFOs, Malone, talking about briefings with Kennedy and UFOs. So the UFO part is in the center of the crux of all this. And people behind the scenes know it, and they've been trying to figure out how to bring that forward to the public in a way that preserves their position. And so the threat is a major piece of how they can do this. And I think with groups like Trump and Trump's group, they're really looking at it and saying, how can we move this forward in a way that puts it back under executive control? And that's been the thing that Eisenhower lost the executive control of the UFO file. We've been battling with it now over 60 years. This has been going up and down and up and down through Nixon, through Reagan, through Trump, and these other figures. And other figures who were just completely out of the loop didn't know anything about the UFO file. Guys like Obama, I don't think, were involved at all. You know, it is interesting to note that Obama's production company is funding the story of Betty and Barney Hill for a Netflix movie. And that whole thing is Obama's production company. They're doing it. And that's the first major story.
And you've been saying this for a long time, for years, that it's building. It's clearly everywhere now. I forgot, Vance, I'm taking the month of August off to study UFOs. I mean, they're clearly signaling when all this comes out that they were ahead of the curve.
Alex, what kind of reality are we in when the VP is saying, I'm going to take the summer off to study UFOs? I mean, this is a very, very unusual situation. And
I know you have a lot of sources you believe are credible and have been definitely in the secret space and aeronautics program. What are they telling you?
They're definitely saying it's what the FBI people told Malone, that there's an acceleration that's taking place. But one of the things that they're very, very far behind on the CIA intelligence community, and that includes the NGA and others, They've all been working and coordinating together. They had Avril Haines as a major UFO UAP coordinator. Now she's out. So, you know, they have been trying to move this into the center. They moved it into congressional hearings. They moved it into these other places. And they had guys like Elizondo who were total counterintelligence agents out there promoting a UFO threat, going on Fox, going on CNN, and really being the center of all this. Whenever you would see UFOs, you'd always see him and the same picture of the TTSA Go Fast UFO. That's what they created. In fact, there's been 70, 80, 90 years of UFO reporting, if you look at it, and there's all of this background. And, you know, it's been exploited into movies and everything else, but you've had really solid researchers, guys like John Mack and others there. What's going on now is the total centralization between the intelligence community and this DOD billionaire I've mentioned, Chris Mellon, who we've exposed on our show as being in the center of controlling these whistleblowers. And the idea there, you know, and as I mentioned, we've had his cousin on, John Warner, so I get it from a very good source, John Warner IV, who is the son of John Warner, the senator, the late senator from Virginia. And, you know, he's like, well, Chris is running the UFO threat for the DOD intelligence side.
So there's insane levels of activity internally, externally, and the people like Jeremy Corbell, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, he can come on the show if he wants, but I look at the production, I look at him in January, they will tell you there is a ship on its way to Earth, that 100% BS, it's a lie, they're going to tell you. But see, if you want to put out it's a ship, people know if you say it's a ship, oh, you're fear-mongering, but if they say they're going to tell you it's a ship, it's not, again, that's how you really feed the story. That's what I pick up here. I know some folks have, let's just say this, been behind the scenes, and there's a bunch of these guys, and I'm not saying they're bad actors. I'm just, they just show up and just say all this stuff, and then when it's all Gnostic, kind of Q-ish, where you can project whatever you want onto it, and then magically the object shows up, when these objects are always coming through, it really begs the question. This is part of a larger tapestry of these guys popping up everywhere. I'm not even trying to look for it. It's just everywhere. Boing, 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 boing. All these, you know, wild stories where if you're really on an army base and you're really in a teleportation room and you're really with space aliens and you go on shows, say your name and you were in that, they're going to come grab your ass. I mean, come on, people. But
yeah.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and roll this clip of him talking about, oh, it's coming soon, and then right on time, here is the AI Atlas coming on. Here it is.
But the lie is coming. All indications, like all of them, is that that lie is going to be that there is a craft slowly making its way to us here on Earth. And that is the lie they're going to want you to believe. It's nuanced, how they explain that, the nature of that threat, the lie you are going to be told. You even got a date. People have been whispering a date for a long time now. I know where that lie comes from. I know specifically what document from the 70s initiated the idea of that lie? A classified document. That is the lie you will be told. You're going to be told that there is a craft on its way to Earth. That's the lie. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I sent you two texts today with a year. Not from me. Nope. I'm not going to propagate that lie. I'm not going to be part of it. I'm not going to say it to the camera. Everybody knows.
And they show that.
Just start paying attention. And they'll change the date, especially if they see
this.
You're
going to love the music.
Things will change. Because maybe I'm trustworthy. Maybe I'm worthy of your trust. Maybe I've told you the truth the whole way through it. Now you can verify it. You've been told the truth about UFOs for a long time now. It's been pretty orchestrated. It's been pretty clear. And it's using people that are telling the truth and want to tell the truth. Ultimately, they want you to know something. They want you to know UFOs are real. Thank God we're finally there. We're all there now.
I wish you could look at the camera.
But why they want you to know that truth now? I hope I'm wrong. But it's terrifying. think about it. Maybe it's good to get ahead of it. Call it out now before they do it. I'll be called crazy. That's okay.
Remember a week before, or 4 or 5 days before, they had the guy go around shooting the representatives in Minnesota. I said, you know, they probably shoot up some representatives somewhere, and but they blame me and Trump that, you know, the day it happens. And that there's the roommate. Oh, he loves Alex Jones. He loves Trump. And then they find the wife with passports, a bunch of guns, and other people. And the guy says, no, I actually work for, you know, Governor Waltz. The point is that the day I saw that guy, the prime minister, that's the fakest body language I've ever seen. They had all these former top FBI and Secret Service behaviorists say, we've never seen something so fake. We ought to give that to some of those guys and ask them the body language. Because I don't have training in it, but does anybody watching that not see scripting, not see just off-the-chart disingenuousness? But on top of it, it's all nebulous. It's all, I can't tell you. I've seen a classified document. You can get up here and rattle off for hours presidents saying the aliens are coming, or we could stage an alien attack to unify the planet. And we've got all, we can go on, but you know, when we have Robert Malone on the HHS commission and confidant of Kennedy saying this, like, oh, we don't care about that. But, oh, look over here. This guy is, you know, with scary music's telling us, and I'm not singling this guy out. He's just emblematic of just hundreds of these guys I see flooding the zone. So what the hell's going on here?
Oh, there's no question. That's the TMZification of the UFO file reporting. And Corbell is well known for that. He's a big marketeer in the middle of all this. And he and George Knapp got together and did this show and just promoted all these things. And a lot of the things that came out as a result of what they were showing, like the jellyfish UFO and all those types of things, turned out to be fake. So for me, when I look at that stuff, I think of them as the marketing op, because, you know, you have the marketing side and then you have the intel side. And the intel side, guys like Elizondo and all the rest on that end. And then you need the marketing people, where the marketing op piece lies. So you have two walls closing in on that, the marketing side of the UFO file and the CIA, NGA, NRO group pushing in and creating their own narratives and getting those out to the publics. And the narratives are dangerous, especially when they go for the UFO threat side. Make no mistake, it's very dangerous. And as you mentioned, if you thought that COVID was a big deal with the lockdowns and everything, just wait till they get to the sky event of a UFO threat. There's no question about it. And it's interesting because on the Russian side, remember, they're very aware as well of the thing around the UFO file. They've been developing it for 70, 80 years on their side. So we're not alone in all of this research that we can do this. So it's a tricky game with the intelligence agencies, what they let out and what our enemies can glean from what we let out.
And again, I'm not singling these guys out. There's dozens of these. It just, I hear this, I see this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm Edward Keith Abbott, ex-U.S. Army 500th Military Brigade, and this is what went on. And in the real world, if you did that, you'd be disappeared. I can tell you right now. Any of this stuff. So let's play clip 19. Here it is.
The Cunia tunnel is basically everything anybody ever says on a phone, on a computer. Those guys are down there and they're listening to everything. And there's one spot in there that this lieutenant was telling us about that he worked in, and it was called Otherworldly Communications. And I'm like, what? He's like, there's only 8 of us. No enlisted, just officers. We're all linguists, and we just listen all day to otherworldly communications. Come on now. If we're talking about aliens, who can communicate with an alien? And he said that we have been doing this for a very long time, that we're already traveling in space. And I remember seeing them coming down. They were wearing, like, black uniforms. Only thing on their sleeve was a blue circle with a red pointer coming up the top on the left arm. We were told they were space program guys. This is 2007. A space program? What the hell is a space program? They're already in space and on the moon. And there is a dialect, and we do have linguists that understand the dialect. So then, 2 weeks later, a couple of guys I knew that worked in the Cunia Tunnel, I pulled aside and I said, listen, man, that lieutenant said there's a place called Otherworldly Communications. And they said, there is, man. We can't even go in the hallway over there. And then you find out why we're in Iraq. Because there's some artifacts that we have to get out of Iraq. We went to Iraq because we wanted to plunder some kind of artifacts they were looking for. He confirmed this. They said that there were some artifacts from, God, who knows how long ago, that were extremely important, and they were from other civilizations that came to Earth and started the whole program. And one of the officers said that this is our fourth time, fourth civilization on Earth that has been this far or even further along than we are. Let's just hope we make it. What does that mean? Hope we make it. Who, someone going to take us all out? And he indicated with his eyes that, yeah, we could be taken out if we do it wrong.
All right, so just going off the audio, that guy sounds, you know, to my brain, either the great actor Al Pacino level or he thinks he's telling the truth. But even Bill Cooper, who was a good guy and believed what he was saying, he talks about on air and also wrote his book, Pale Horse, he said, I was in this, you know, naval intelligence stuff, and there were all these documents, you know, about UFOs and all this, but he goes, I thought they might have been planning that to have me, you know, put the story out or something. He was even figuring that out and understanding that, but then saw some crazy things later coming in and out of the ocean. So there's a lot to this. A lot of these guys aren't bad. They're being fed disinfo. I mean, what do you make of that? And then obviously that's the classic origin story, you know, that's in all the ancient texts there, and he's thinking he's getting it from some classified thing. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And well, from a lot of the audio there, that guy is referencing the secret space program. And that was brought forward, a lot of it was brought forward by Gary McKinnon, who's known as the NASA hacker. And it is true that when Obama went over to the UK, they brought this up when it was him and James Cameron talking. And they said, what are you going to do about the NASA hacker? And he said, we have ways to get him. Well, as it turned out that with McKinnon, what they were able to say on his side was that, you know, he wasn't able to stand trial here in the United States, and that because he had Asperger's. And so that whole case got dropped. But what he saw was a whole off-world officers list. And this is the crucial thing that we need to understand, which is there were inside of those NASA documents that he hacked into a role for an off-world officers list. That's not astronauts. So who are they? But it makes sense because you think about the fact that we have not gone to the moon since 1972. We had the Challenger disaster in 1986, which ended the entire manned flight aspect of this whole situation. So what have they been doing in the meantime? They've had a very active program of spaceports, space infrastructure being built up with public money for private infrastructure. And now you have these guys coming forward and saying, hey, we're going to go to Mars. We have all this infrastructure. You're going to have hotels and space and all the rest of it. Who built the infrastructure? There's no question it was the United States space program, but that has been a secret space program this whole time.
Can you just do a few more minutes? Because I want to tell you a story on the other side and get your take on it.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll start telling it now then. And I mentioned this before, and it didn't even get picked up anywhere. I thought it probably would, but also sometimes I mention things that's taken out of context. Like I said, when I was criticizing Trump last month about the Epstein thing, I got some calls from the White House saying, what is it you want? It wasn't like you want a bag of money. It was like, what do you want us to do? And then they take the clips out, and, oh, Jones says they tried to pay him off. No, they're like, what do you want? What do you want us to do? What are you bitching about? What do you expect? But moving on from that, well, when we come back, I've never really told the full story. And I can't tell it all. I was told I could talk about it, and I was like, why are you telling me this? But we're going to come back, and I'm going to say it on air. Stay with us.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people. He said, but now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control, end quote.
It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I'm doing the deep dive on the Palisade fires of Mel Gibson. Now he's right. Soon. Maybe I'll do a special report tonight and air it tomorrow, but it's going to happen. The problem is I get more and more info. I want to make it really powerful because it's already so powerful. And then I realize I can make it even more powerful. The total proof they did it on purpose. But I don't tell these stories to write myself into it. I'm not Hunter S. Thompson. And there's so many stories I've never told because, you know, they're fantastical. And later you see it come out in the news, what I told you happened. But I know about intelligence agencies and how they operate in factions and groups. And I know when they come snooping around, if it's the Israelis or the British, I don't talk to them. And the Russians have come around, I mean, 15 years ago, not around here, but, you know, around events I was at and stuff. I mean, they're everywhere. And we've had, you know, they've used Saudi intelligence against us the last few years and things, and we reported to the FBI, recorded them and stuff. And then they weren't Saudi Arabians. It was their company, though, which really was assigned to MI6. But I knew when Trump was getting in, there was a lot of interest in the Pentagon and in CENTCOM and Army Special Operations and all the rest of it. And so I already knew a bunch of those people, Delta Force, and you've seen a lot of them on the show, but others you've never seen. And, you know, I get phone calls from most famous Delta Force people and commanders and stuff all the time, give me information, and it's always been good. And so I had, you know, more security then and stuff because it was a big security threat, and I had these guys who were already in special operations, and they're like, yeah, this guy wants to come just hang out and work with you some, blah, blah, blah. And I knew who he was, and he'd also been high level in MUST security. And but I was like, oh, so they want to come look at the infrastructure for a security thing because I'm so close to Trump. And they're like, well, Alex, you're really smart. Well, he's a really nice guy. Why don't you have him around? I was like, sure, Trump can come in here and sniff around. And so that goes on. He goes on trips with us and all the rest of stuff. And they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to work for Musk and Trump. Have fun, blah, blah, blah. And it was, you know, tied into other big groups Trump uses. People can probably imagine the names of big security groups. And that we're doing private security for him as well. Because Trump has that, you know, overwatching the other stuff that goes on. He didn't have that when he got shot in Butler, you know, so he brought it back. And you got Eric Prince and all that stuff. And so, you know, one day we come back from a trip and he's in here and he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you a story. It's really interesting. You know, a month or so ago, I was gone. I was up there with Musk, and we had this whole like 5-6 hour meeting in the Oval Office with Trump, and they closed everything off, took everybody out, and man, they had it up on the big screens. They rolled in, and you know, Elon has already got 3D printers and already the beginnings of a big you know, base to launch to Mars on the dark side of the moon, and they've got. And I said, really, how are they powered? He goes, that's a good question. How do you think they power it? And I go, nuclear. And he goes, well, they got a lot of stuff. I don't know, but it was just amazing. And Trump signed off on it right there, and it's all secret. And I went, well, you know, with your history and your past, you got people that you wouldn't, I knew it, you got led like assassination teams for the CIA. I said, that's really interesting. Because if that's all true and classified, we get in a lot of trouble. And he said, well, they just wanted me to tell you about it and thought you might want to know. I go, am I supposed to talk about it? Well, don't really say my name, but yeah. And see, people, that sounds crazy. But remember, 5 days, this is from his source inside the campaign. Before Kennedy announces, I said he's going to be out on the West Coast. It wasn't California, then it was Tucson. And RFK Jr. at a big daytime rally will announce that he's endorsing Trump and Ma. And people, that's crazy. That's nuts. It happened just like I said that Friday afternoon, 4 days later. So I just get given stuff like this. And usually what I'm given has been accurate. In fact, it's always been. But that I didn't even talk about for a few years because it was so weird. And I've run into him a few times here and there. Oh, just magically see him here or there. But that's what that whole COG is out there is, you know, happening. And when you get as prominent as we are, you know, basically the, you know, the intelligence agencies and people, even if they're not really against you, that faction, it's like dogs smell each other's asses. And so if you don't let them do that, they might bite you because I have nothing to hide. But at the same time, you know, I certainly don't turn the lights out around here when those guys are in here. So Daniel Liz, dark journalist, what do you make of that? Because that on my soul happened.
Wow. That is incredible. The thing about it that grabs me is the whole moon aspect on this, because it makes perfect sense that they were developing this type of technology on the dark side of the moon. And it also explains why China, with all their missions, want to go directly to that dark side of the moon. It's probably to keep an eye on what we're doing there as well. But the fact that they were revealing it to you, look, they're aware of your platform. They're aware of your impact. And they're doing that on purpose. The question behind all of that would be, why would they be doing that? They want to say, they want to data mine what happens when you let that story out. Now, they may have wanted the story to be out there as leverage, you know, because they're actually doing it, or they might be doing it on a different part of the moon and they want to misdirect. But they're using something as a conduit there with you and bringing you into that story. But I'll tell you what's interesting about that dark side of the moon story is I've heard similar type of things. So I believe that that story has been circulated for a reason. And I believe it represents actual technology that's up there on the moon. There are many accounts of technology and bases already being set on the moon. And the idea of Artemis and the amount of delays is that they were afraid by bringing all this attention up there that the thing that they've been developing in the background on a totally covert fashion, including the idea of making it the perfect drop point to go for these Mars missions, makes perfect sense because they don't want all the attention there at that particular time. So all the delays that we've had, Artemis has been around for 6 years and they've never gone anywhere. But they're supposed to be the, you know, the first women in space on the moon anyway. So when we look at it that way, I think about people who are involved in our space program like Gordon Cooper and Edgar Mitchell, and you knew that they knew things that they could not bring out, but they brought it out in other ways. I will say in Cooper's case, he actually, with the president of the island of Grenada, addressed the United Nations and said, we know about these other entities. We think it's time we bring this into the UN Charter and all the rest. And then Reagan ended up invading the island of Grenada very shortly after that. So there's a lot going on that does not exist on a public level. It is an entirely, Professor Scott named it, coined it, the deep state. But it operates in this totally covert fashion, but it influences. When it steps in and creates a deep event in the public, it influences and changes policy. And that's what they're about right now in regards to space and our understanding of space, which they've kept us basically as children on the entire subject. So what I would say is, Musk and his team around that, they leaked that to you on purpose in that Trump orbit about the dark side of the moon. The only thing I'd be curious about is the date.
He said specifically that Trump was secretly authorizing the funding for the expansion of the base for Mars missions. And then you look at all the studies where they've said it'd be better to launch the mission to Mars from the dark side. And then what was it? Ad Astra came out like 7-8 years ago with Brad Pitt, where you have a whole battle on the dark side of the moon, between governments, covertly trying to stop our launch. We already have a Mars base at that time. So, of course, that movie, I forget when it came out. I think it came out right after I got told this. And I was like, after I saw that. Guys, look up when it came out. I think it came out. This 100% happened. And, of course, I was just thinking about it again today, because Cooper thought they were giving him all this UFO stuff as a lie because he was in naval intelligence, but he wasn't sure. And then later he saw, the craft fly out of the water or whatever when he was out on a ship at super high speed. So, again, I don't want to attack these other people in the military and stuff that say they've been told this, but it's always secondhand, except this guy really was high-level security with Elon Musk. This guy really was in the White House. I mean, just leave it at that. I mean, just examples. A lot of the guys I'm around are in the White House. I'll just stop right there. It's not a secret. Like Sean Johnson, put out the photo last week. I trained with a former Navy SEAL trainer, demolition expert. He was just the White House shaking hands with Trump. I posted on X, made a joke. Another secret mission. Sean Johnson actually was a secret mission, but leave it at that. Nothing that big a deal about. But it's just that this is secondhand, but this is directly from somebody I know who they are, and they're not. And I mean, it's definitely somebody that does a lot of super secret stuff that doesn't just tell people something like this for no reason. So, yeah, probably just to plant disinformation or something is what I thought, and that's why I didn't talk about it for years.
Oh, absolutely. And part of the whole thing, remember too, is about archaeology wars. And the archaeology wars, it's interesting, we brought up that clip earlier with the guy talking about Iraq and what they did with the looting of the Baghdad Museum. That is real. And I've done a whole Hot Zone series about archaeology wars and how they're looking for those ancient artifacts that are superpowered because they represent an earlier technology. The thing about space, I don't think there's any doubt for anyone who's gone into the space research that the moon and Mars have both been, and we've had all the high-level people come out and say this, airbrushed. The photos that we see of them, the videos we see, they're airbrushed because if they show anomalies of earlier development, then it blows somebody's entire program. That's why those people in that early era of the Kennedy era didn't want to go with the Russians to space because they didn't want to share those types of discoveries. It goes deeper than that, but I will say this in terms of the archaeology. If you see artifacts on the moon or you see artifacts on Mars, that sets up an entire trajectory for an entire different idea of human civilization.
Absolutely. I don't want to run him down, but Stephen Greer, Dr. Greer, very smart guy. Met him several times. Very nice. Very well spoken. I agree with a lot of what he says. But, he's got the Israeli background with his wife early on. And then he is, early on Rockefeller Foundation stuff. And so there really is so many times with these progenitors, this connection back. Then you see Hollywood for 60 years, 70 years, just wholesale pushing this. As you said, Obama producing movies about it. It's not just that there's interest in it. There's a real push here.
No question. And as the president, Obama knew all of these things about the UFO file. So if he's putting his money behind a Betty and Barney Hill movie, what does that say about the reality of the entire thing? The other thing, I think it is interesting what you're saying here about people on that side of things. Like, there's been a lot of failed attempts at this disclosure, and the problem has been the meddling on the billionaires' side. They've come in and try to shape the narrative to what they were looking for. And in that case, Rockefeller was working with a number of people in the UFO field. And a lot of those Greer narratives came out with, no, all the aliens are benevolent and all this stuff. So it had a kind of an alien messiah type thing. And then you had the UFO threat people, and that's like Elizondo, you know, the counterintelligence guy, and all of his background and all of these things started to fall apart the more he was out there. And then he starts holding up false photos and all the rest. So you have two sides, and they're vying for this disclosure angle. And one of those sides is funded by the kind of billionaire group. The other side is their own billionaire group. They work directly for the DOD, though. So there's a clash there between the two. One of the things I would say, and some of the worst people that have been involved around this, are the CIA people who are at the leadership level. And so, like, John Brennan has been involved, says, oh, we need to get to the bottom of the UFO file. Jim Semivan launched the To the Stars Academy. He's TTSA, Tom DeLong, Elizondo, all of that. And then Chris Mellon. Now, Mellon himself, being the DOD billionaire official, he was called the mayor of Area 51. And as of 2016, he was on record saying, the government never covered up anything. What are you talking about? There are no aliens. There's no UFOs. Forget it. Now he's the big champion of disclosure. We need to understand what changed in their thinking. If you have these people before congressional committees, you don't softball them and massage them and say, like, oh, you're doing great work. What a hero. What a legend. You say, no, why are you lying now? Or were you lying then? Which is it?
Exactly. And in closing, it's been a riveting interview, and I'm really appreciate you. I want to get you back on. Everybody should see your films and your work at darkjournalist.com. From my research, Area 51 has got some underground connections to Vegas and some toxic waste dumps. Since, you know, they've had some skunk work, secret aircraft there from time to time. But to me, it's a larger distraction. And I know they really keep secret a lot of the other areas. But I've seen information in Montana, Utah, Wyoming. But there's bases, obviously, all over and all over the world. From all your deep research and credible sources, where are the real hotbeds of human secret aerospace technology?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question Nevada has been a major staging ground. And of course, New Mexico was the leader in that. The one that gets missed very often, and the people there in Moon, Pennsylvania are great, but Moon, Pennsylvania is a major, major center for development of secret technology. It's been left off. You know, a variety of things happened around there. For example, the Kecksburg incident, where this Acorn UFO crashes and has all these hieroglyphs on it, the entire town sees it and they're sworn to secrecy by the military. It's like Roswell Part 2 in the 1960s. But that took place very close to Moon. Moon, if you go into its history, was set up as a military town during World War II, and they just decided this is something that will keep, you know, completely off the books and off to the side. What was going on, I think, with Area 51 is there was a battle with those groups, and they wanted to reveal Area 51, so they rolled out guys like Lazar. And, you know, a lot of the history of Lazar was very shady, including the fact that he lied all about his education, and he lied about a number of things. Now, he may have been working at a secret base and seen these unusual things, but you have to take into account who the person is. What disturbs me the most is that now Spielberg is putting out his movie next May, which is all about these whistleblowers and the UFO threat and the thing they're bringing forward. And they're focusing on one of those whistleblowers in particular. And now all of the other ones. David Grush is now a film consultant. You know, he's a film producer with this other guy. And these are the guys who are making the big budget Hollywood movies. So they've moved all those people there. The whole thing was moved from, oh, this is going to be disclosure through the podcast, which was a very, nobody asked one hard question of any of these guys. This is part of the problem. They were all softball questions and titillation and all the rest. Well, what we got were a bunch of people being moved into different positions. You didn't get any truth out of any of those people. And here we are now with a real UFO situation of this Harvard guy saying, oh, you have a UFO threat, and you have a whole setup now through NORAD and everything else for dealing with a threat. What is dealing with a UFO threat? That's emergency.
So powers. There are clearly, as you said, at least two major factions, and they're gearing up for something big. And it looks like they're fighting with each other on what the disclosure will be, whether it's fake or real or invasion or peaceful.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting to me that Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr. encourages him to talk about the UFO file. Trump is very reluctant to talk about the UFO file, but will wax poetic about Uncle John, even when it's an under unusual circumstances. You might have caught him talking recently about Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and how Uncle John knew him. He was one of his students. Well, someone did a little research on that, and the timelines didn't add up. And also, Kaczynski wasn't at MIT. He was at Harvard. So Trump was musing about this, and also he wouldn't have been talking about him because he wasn't revealed to the 1990s. So, and Kaczynski is a fascinating story on his own, but Trump here is raising it in the context of Uncle John and how Uncle John Trump had all this technological ability and that, you know, Kaczynski was his top student and all these things. Well, none of that was true, but why was Trump saying it? Trump deals in steganography often, which is why he even talks about Uncle John. I went back to an article where the COG people had invited from the Reagan White House in 1987 Trump to come in and deal with them. And he was talking to this liberal writer, you know, from like Vanity Fair, and he's telling him all these things. And he starts talking about Uncle John and the technology that Uncle John knew about. That's 1987. So he's waxing on back.
Well, let me raise this. It might not be riddles Trump saying, because I forget exactly when Kaczynski was in the particular college, but he volunteered for the CIA MKUltra program, which is a whole spectrum of things, not just mind control. And then he disappears into a labyrinth of things and then pops back out. So who knows where Kaczynski really was or what was really going on?
Yes. Well, it's interesting because the public didn't know about him. And so I think this is really the crux of it. But there's no question that they moved him through various places and probably set him up in that very unusual. I mean, he's an MKUltra Milgram experiment guy right from the very start. And they took that kind of genius and felt like, hey, we can use it and misdirect it in this way. There's a number of guys like him, I think, that have shown up around the UFO piece as well. And I think that they do. Whenever we get around certain people who have that imprint, believe it or not, Lee Harvey Oswald has a UFO imprint, was telling everyone he was going to work for NASA. So when we get around these people who've been programmed for a role.
Yeah, they use NASA name as the feeder group recruiting them in. And then you've got Lee Harvey Oswald working at the secret spy YouTube base in Japan.
Exactly. Right. So that's Japan's Area 51, basically. And they put Oswald there. And it's interesting because Kerry Thornley, who was his bunkmate, basically said Oswald had a higher security clearance than everyone there. We all knew that. So who was this guy that they put into this role? And we have these people and we just say, oh, he was the patsy or whatever. But why is the patsy associated with advanced technology in space over and over again? When we go into
just
the
like the shooter of Robert F. Kennedy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. He does. He came out of Skunk Works, which is the major UFO redevelopment place. So obviously that super secret structure, their access points have to do with, and the people that they use have to do with the secret aspect of the
government.
Because
that's the highest level of secrecy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It is. And it's right at the heart of the secrecy. There was something that identified a group called DISC, which was Defense Industrial Security Command. And that is the original group that handled the secrecy around the UFO file. And they were able to recruit all kinds of people for their programs and bring them in. And they had at their hands the very best psychiatric warfare manipulators. So the story came out recently, finally, and we've talked about this for years, about George Joannides. Well, it was admitted that, yes, he did. He created the Oswald legend. It came out in this last round of Kennedy.
That's right. A month ago, declassified CIA Information Warfare Division was running Oswald.
Yes, exactly. And who was it who gave him his Career Achievement Medal? He gave him the Career Achievement Medal, Bobby Ray Inman, who was the CIA director who said, hey, UFOs are real, and we know who's not only what they are, what the objects are, but who's inside. So, Joannides being associated with setting up this very early case now, all the way back to Lee Harvey Oswald. And there he is in 1980 getting this medal, 81, from Bobby Inman, who is the UFO guy on the inside.
And by the way,
CIA.
You brought that up before the documents came out. Incredible, darkjournalist.com, on YouTube, Dark Journalist, on X. Incredible job. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thank you, Alex. Talk to you soon.
Simply amazing. We could cut this hour and 50 minutes into 20 pieces. I mean, whoa. I mean, it's just crazy. And again, not writing myself into this story. My dad, top of his class, winning all these science awards, everything. Mother's a principal of a small town school. They get these letters. Hey, we want you, would your son want to join a feeder program to NASA? And all this stuff. And, oh, we want to do a test. We want to send him an 18-wheeler with something on it, see if we can put it together. They send him a giant Union Carbide Ruby laser, basically proto-particle beam accelerator. He builds it correctly, only wears two pairs of sunglasses, gets blinded for 2 weeks. And then after that, they come and, oh, you're going to work for NASA now. And then it's just, oh, you're doing medical experiments when you're 15 years old at MD Anderson. And then, you know, and he got out of it. He won't tell me anything else after that. Well, a little bit at UT. He's like, yeah, they got a nuclear reactor under there, and they had CD-ROMs and computers already. He didn't tell me all this till like 2007. Oh, my God, it's so insane. And it's just a giant program. When I say underground, I mean right under our noses in society, all compartmentalized. All right. I'm out of time. Owen Schroyer's going to take over. There's a bunch of insane stuff I didn't hit. So, huge updates on the Epstein thing has totally broken through to the next level. I mean, the biggest information yet. My brain just today on this. And then I've got all this other news that I didn't get to. <It's> just... the crew's been great today. They've been having to deal with me just bouncing around because I just hit maximum overload. Not in a bad way. My brain just like right now. So, I'm kind of glad our journalists came on these subjects that are so important because I was just already, I mean, just the Epstein stuff that broke, I'm processing it right now. It's over the top. Okay, calm down. This is not happened many times before in 31 years on air. It's happened some. But it's just everything's exploding right now. It's all connecting. Listen, they want us off the air for reasons. We connect the dots. We know what we're doing. We thank all of you. Please spread the word about the broadcast. Take the clips we put out at Man Up Video and Relax Jones on X and share them. And please support us financially because we're fighting the deep state leftovers and all of it. And it's just totally insane. We need your support. Plus, the products are insane. We're sitting on the sale for 2 days because I've been too busy to come up with a new one or work with our sponsor to do it. So you buy one of any of the supplements, Methylene Blue, you name it, another one free, huge discounts. Buy one t-shirt, another one free. Buy a ball cap, get one free. It's a huge sale. Funds the operation. Please take action now. I need your support, plus the great products. Really missing out if you don't take action. Ultra Methylene Blue, Ultimate Life Force, Shilajit Gummies, all of it. Buy one, get one free now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go now.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. now the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.